I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me. God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Well, Angela Mosca, a senior, has left us. Angela King Kong Mosca. As a Mid-Atlantic fan and fanboy over the years, tell me what you remember. What is the first thing that pops into your mind when it comes to Angela Mosca?
The first thing that pops into my mind is Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. Tell me this.
Just every time he would come in, it seems like he would have to, he and Flair would have to either go at it, or Flair was complimenting him one way or the other. I don't know.
Yes. He was Flair. This is, again, Flair's fanboyishness toward real, quote unquote, real sports and real athletes, because Angelo Mosca had been a star in college at the University of Notre Dame. He played football in the NFL, and then he went on to the CFL, Brian. He played in more Grey Cups than any other CFL player, as Wikipedia is telling me right now.
I never knew that.
He was in, let me look. I think they said 8 or 9 he was in. Yes, 9 Grey Cup games, more than any other player in the CFL history, tied with his teammate John Barrow. Now, as a Mid-Atlantic fan, what I remember is they couldn't get his son, Angelo Mosca Jr., over for shit as a babyface in Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, I've never
remember. And they tried very hard to get him over.
Oh, so hard.
And it just, even as a kid, you're like, I don't think this, I'm like 11, 12, 13 years old. And I'm like, this, I don't think this is happening.
Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes we were young enough to pick, but old enough to know, you know.
Right. Like, I think the Italian Stallion as a babyface was over more than Angelo Mosca Jr.
Big time.
Did they try to – I got to look. Did they ever put the Mid-Atlantic title? I think they tried to put the Mid-Atlantic title on Angelo Mosca Jr.
Probably did.
Something. And they just couldn't do it. And he had, like – the kid had no – I mean, honestly, God – he may have been he's the kind of guy that would have a job with All Elite Wrestling forever, because he's just a nice guy and the boys like him and shit like that. So they keep him around.
He could come to a Del Fuego.
That's right. He'd come out and he could spray the young bucks in the nuts with something. I don't know what it would do, but I don't know. But he just, you know, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy, but he had like zero personality. The fans didn't hang on to him at all.
He was just there, man. I mean, seriously.
He was there. He really was. And he's like, you remember when everybody lifted Flair up on their shoulders after he wins the title there at Starrcade? And you're like, all these, it's pretty much these loser fucking baby faces like Italian Stallion that are out there lifting him up. And like Sam Houston. Sam Houston was really not over that much in Mid-Atlantic.
No.
He was fucking like over 100 times more than Angelo Mosca Jr. ever was.
Yeah. I would have to sit here and think real hard to find somebody that was over less than him. I'm serious.
That's a good one. Who is over as a babyface less in Mid-Atlantic than that guy? Well, that's funny. I can't even think of anybody.
I mean, it's just, you'd have to, your brain would hurt.
I know. It's not, I can't, because, and they kept, it's like, oh my God, we have to push this kid. And I think they were going for the teen girl thing with him, and they wanted the girls, and it was like, no.
But they kind of half-assed it, you know? That's what they were doing. They didn't really go all out on that, but they were kind of leaning that way. I know what you mean, yeah.
Because, like, all the girls just love, like, they love Jay Youngblood, and they love
Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat. Goddamn. I mean,
you know, Jesus Christ, they couldn't, to push this guy as like anything was like, and to an extent, you know, Sam Houston, he got the baby face pop. He got the girl pop thing going.
He did get a little, yeah.
but there's no, and they just tried and they tried so hard and it just wasn't working out. So
who was it? Dale. And I can't remember. It was somebody's son, a wrestler's son. Is that Dale?
Oh, Dale Torborg.
Torborg.
Yeah.
Was it his son? Or somebody's
son? Jeff Torborg's son, Dale.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
He didn't go. We might be in that territory. I don't know. That's the only thing, person that could come to mind, but that was two different.
So as World Championship Wrestling is dying a death and they decide what we're going to do to save this thing is we're going to license this demon thing. It's going to be Gene Simmons makeup and everything. We're going to pay Kiss $500 trillion for have this demon thing. And Brian Adams did it for like a week. And then they were like, oh, okay. Dale Torborg, you're the guy. We're going to put you in. And it, of course, again, it died a blew massive.
Up. It blew the rail up, didn't it?
The last I heard, Dale Torborg, I think, is the strength and conditioning coach maybe for the Chicago White Sox.
Okay. Good for him.
His dad was with the Kansas City Royals for a number of years and stuff. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, he was a big dude. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's just
very big guy, but just you can't, you know. And I think he did that demon gimmick for a while on the Emmys or on the Indies. And I don't know how, you know, Gene Simmons didn't sue him.
I was getting ready to say, I know.
Gene Simmons will make money. If you try to bottle a Gene Simmons fart and put it on eBay, you'll get sued straight to hell. I mean, everything that you have will be taken from you and stripped and you will be thrown into the streets and you will get typhoid. Those are things that will all happen to you if you try to do anything that Gene Simmons doesn't like, that he doesn't license.
Wow, typhoid.
So they had a legend. I don't know if you've seen this video, but it's very good. Mm-hmm. Angelo Mosca and Joe Capp. Do you know who Joe Capp is?
I don't think so.
He's probably one of the old-time quarterbacks. We'll get to him in just a moment. One of the great quarterbacks in the history of the Pac-8, 10, 12.
Okay.
This guy. He played several years in the Canadian Football League, and apparently he and Angelo didn't like each other. And they had a reunion a few years ago. The YouTube video is easily found. I think it was 2011. It's been 10 years ago since this happened. And they're old men in their 70s. Joe Capp literally tries to approach Angelo Mosca with a what is supposed to be an olive leaf, but I think it's a little bit of baby's breath. And he keeps shoving it in Angelo Mosca's face. Angelo starts swinging his cane at him. And the two old men actually get into a fight on stage in front of everybody. It's a great YouTube video.
It's a work.
It's very disturbing. And it's like, wow, I thought the Canadians only gave a shit about hockey, but here they are carrying this. These old men are carrying like a grudge from 40 years ago, 50 years ago, into, you know, the 21st century and trying to swing on each other. Joe Capp was a quarterback at the University of California. Now he's the one that had enough sense to get a COVID vaccine.
Now, is that Andy's brother?
No, it is not Andy Capp's brother. I think he had one of the great Rose Bowl performances of all time. Okay, and, wow. So, yes,
I probably should know this stuff, but I just don't. You're educating me here.
And again, he was the University of California quarterback who thought, let's go ahead and just get vaccinated. And, of course, he's an old man, and he had some shit. But then, for him. In honor of that stupid-ass Aaron Rodgers, I went ahead and got my third booster shot this morning, so I'm good.
Good, I'm glad you did that in his stupid name.
It hurts my arm a little bit, but I'm okay. Oh, it made me sterile, though. I'm sterile now. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. No, that was the vasectomy I had in January. That's
hey, man, if I, I'm looking at your video. It looks like you might be having some horns growing out
oh,
right
no.
here.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I've got horns. Good gimmick, though. Work on the Indies. Nothing wrong with that. So, no. Joe. Yeah, go look at the Joe.
Joe Capp.
Yeah, or we'll put it on at Katie Vick Alive, and it's Joe Capp and Angelo Mosca swinging on each other.
That's funny.
It's fantastic. All right.
Hey, speaking of old guys, real quick, I just sent you a picture I saw a couple days ago.
What is that?
That is Billy Idol. But you know who that looks like?
Who does it look like? A porn
to
star?
Me, that looks like Jeff Hardy in about 25 years.
Jeff Hardy. And he's going to be crying, mo, cocaine. Let's see. For anybody that's watching, there's a picture. There's the picture of William Idol.
Jeff Hardy, I'm telling you.
Jeff Hardy sings It's Nice Day for a White Powder. Nice day to snort again.
Yeah.
Let's do the WWE releases because we always have those to talk about.
Yeah, weekly thing to talk about. It's our weekly segment.
You ask, I'm just going to make the broad statement in general. The worst thing you can do for yourself in this company is to get yourself over. Now, I want you to listen to what I just said. Get yourself over. If you deign to do that, and there's
Damian Sandow.
I mean, we could go through the list. I mean, Zack Ryder. And now Keith Lee. Oh, God, you know, we can't have that. If you get yourself over, you're fucked. You're done. You're out. We can't have you around. I mean, I don't understand how Ricochet still has a job, because Ricochet fucked up and got himself real popular a couple of years ago. But thank God they've cooled him down to the level at which he's not over at all. So thank God that's happened.
They did everything they could except let him go, basically.
Firing would be better for him than what's going on.
Like putting somebody out of their misery kind of thing.
Right. You've heard the phrase, there are things worse than death. This is worse than that. This is the worst thing of all.
That is a perfect example.
Headlining the list, of course, is Keith Lee, who not that long ago was one of the hottest things in the company. I mean, it was like
the Bearcat. The Bearcat's gone. We hardly knew ye.
Yeah, that Bearcat moniker lasted just a little bit, just the tiniest amount.
God, didn't even give it time to goddamn do anything with it.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna take this Bearcat thing and we're gonna run with it. We're gonna go all the way to you're fired.
Oh shit, man.
Oh, they said B-Fab. Is that the one they just cut?
Yeah, that's B-Fab. The hit row. Yeah.
Yeah, B-Fab just signed a new deal like last week.
Yeah, they all just got moved to SmackDown. They were being hailed as the next hottest thing on SmackDown.
We're going to get you guys. We're going to get the black audience with you. We're going to get all these urban. You're fired! I can't wait to push you to the moon. We got some big plans for you coming up at WrestleMania. You're fired! That's our meeting.
It's so true, man. It's got to be pretty much right on it.
We got some good ideas from Creative on You. Here's a new t-shirt. It's coming out next week. Hang on. I got to take this note. Somebody's handing me a note here. Oh, you're fired. That's like literally the meeting. We see you as the future of this company. We've got to get blacker, younger, and you are fired. That's literally what's happening with B-Fab.
It's the truth, man. It's the truth.
That's the chick in the group, right?
Yeah.
God, she's great.
Yes.
She's great, and she's good looking, and she's got charisma. So obviously, we got to get rid of her.
Got to go.
Oh, holy shit.
Got to go, yeah. Babe.
You fuck her. Get her out of the door. Holy shit. And again, my eternal question on these releases, can we go ahead? Is it okay? Tracy Myers, can you go ahead and book these people from WrestleCade? Get them in the door?
Bring them on.
Keith Lee would be, he would have there would be a line from here to Raleigh, from Winston-Salem to Raleigh to go get a sign on that guy. So Keith Lee, Taya Valkyrie, Frankie Monet, whatever. She'll never have that slave name again. Ember Moon, who, I don't know, start, stop. Karrion Cross.
You know, she was injured for a while, and she came back, and they didn't really know what to do with her, and they just kind of threw her in some shit.
Shocking. They didn't know what to do with her.
I know, right? I know.
Karrion Cross, Scarlett Bordeaux, Grand Metalik, Nia Jax, Harry Smith. Raise your hand if you knew that Harry Smith was a part of World Wrestling. Anybody want to? I didn't. I wasn't aware that Harry Smith was. Holy shit. Maya Yim, Eve Marie. We talked about B-Fab. Oney Lorcan and Lindsay Dorado. There's one name on this list that I'm just going to say. Keith Lee is almost like another project in and of himself, because the stupidity of how they fucked that up is like almost worth a graduate level course at a business school or something.
Let me just say this. before he went to WWE, he and Shane Taylor were getting down in ROH. So F you, WWE, you know.
I mean, he got over, and then Vince decided he couldn't work and he needed him to turn into a luchador, him and Otis. And now Otis gets to do a heel thing and Keith Lee gets to not do anything. But I'm sure
Keith Lee gets to breathe.
Keith Lee will have a story to tell about that whole weird period of time where he wasn't allowed to talk. And I don't even, unless the NDA is still in place or whatever. I don't know.
Keith Lee's got a good story to tell. Yes. At some point.
I honestly, out of all of these names, if you're a wrestling promoter and you can't make money with Scarlett Bordeaux, what are you doing? How stupid are you?
Well, you know, we talked some shit about Karrion Kross when, and I guess we shouldn't say talk shit, but I guess we kind of did. There was just no there with him alone, but with Scarlett, it was still him, but it's like she helped whatever he had come out, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
And it's just everything about it, that whole entrance, that whole video with her dancing around him. And that's, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't get that at all.
That's like saying I can't make any money with Stacey Keibler. That's like having Stacey Keibler presented to you and you're going, I don't know what to do with you. I got to release you. I swear to God.
It is.
You can explain almost any of the rest of these. Almost any of the rest of these people, and I could go, all right, that's plausible. I think part of that's bullshit, but whatever. But if you've been a wrestling promoter for 5 seconds, you can figure out a way to make money with Scarlett Bordeaux. The camera fucking loves her. The camera eats her up. I mean, there's just nothing. There's hardly anything you have to do. You have to try to fuck that up.
And you know, here the thing about her too is she can actually wrestle. She can sports entertain, man. Exactly. She was in Impact. She was doing fairly well. She looked okay, you know, in the ring. I saw her a couple times or so. And she can talk. She had her own thing. She wasn't just this silent thing that danced around, which she was good at with Karrion Kross, I thought. But there was more to her. They could have brought all that out, you know. So screw them.
That to me is the one that blows my mind above all of them. Because I'm telling you, Joe Blow at Joplin Championship Wrestling in Joplin, Missouri can figure out a way to make some fucking money with Scarlett Bordeaux.
But you know, here's what blows my mind. And before I say it, I like the girl. I have nothing against her. I don't really know her. But how the fuck did Aaliyah get brought up to SmackDown when she hardly ever showed her face on NXT? I thought she was gone. You know, I had no idea. Next thing I know, they were saying that she got drafted. I'm like, what? Who? Her?
I think the new thing now is the current thinking as we speak on November 7th, 2021, in the year of our Lord, is that we're going to not keep people at NXT forever. We're going to do the old Rule 5 draft, as it is in baseball.
Tommaso Ciampa, line one.
Exactly. We're going to put you down there for a while. If it doesn't work out, you're done, or we're going to bring you up. And I think this is like, she's been there a long time. We're going to give her a shot at the main roster. If it doesn't work out, then the good news is now that if she does have to wrestle Nia Jax, if she did have to wrestle Nia Jax, she won't get hurt by Nia Jax. So that'll be at least one. One positive thing, she won't have her nose broken, her face
that's
fucked up.
That's a good thing, yes.
Nothing else done by Nia Jackson.
You know, if anybody made sense, that one made sense. That one might have been...
Well, 3 years ago.
I was going to say, a little bit late, but okay.
What is your favorite Nia Jax moment? Because mine, obviously, is when she falls on her vagina and says, ah, my hole!
My hole.
Which... sounds like it's a Vince Russo scripted moment.
God, you know, he stood and when he heard that, he applauded. Like,
bro, that is, who wrote that? Bro, they're ripping off my shit.
Plagiarism, bro.
This is gonna very much disappoint you. And I have to tell you this, but I don't like it. I don't like telling you this. I saw EC3 doing something with Russo. I know.
No. I was going to say, maybe he got paid, but we know he didn't.
He was kind of almost apologizing, explaining, like, you're a person that I, you know, I admire and someone that I've looked up to and someone that I think I could learn from. And maybe we don't agree on everything, but I know. It's so disappointing, isn't it?
Dude, he seems so much more level-headed than that when we're talking. I know.
Now he's joining.
That is disappointing, man.
He's in the anti-woke mafia now.
God.
You're dead to it. You're dead. Keith Lee surprised me. Scarlett surprised me.
Yeah. Well, Mia Yim didn't really surprise me. If they're going to let Keith Lee go, they're going to probably let her go too, just by proxy. Yeah, you know,
proxy. Harry Smith surprised me because I didn't know he was in the company or doing anything.
Right. So
this is what they did, and it really is kind of getting to be like radio because this is the time of year.
Oh yeah, don't get those Christmas bonuses out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year if you work for iHeartMedia. Or if you work for Odyssey, formerly Intercom, or if you work to a lesser extent for Cumulus or Cox, right around Christmas, it's time to, you're done. Right before Christmas, they start firing up the Bing Crosby on their little AC station so the women in the minivans can check that out on the way to dropping the kids off, and they start firing like a shit ton of people.
That's what happened. Dreaming.
And invariably, it's always like some poor son of a bitch that's got cancer of some sort, and they just, you're done. No more benefits. Sorry about your insurance. Bye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
This is what it's like in WWE. They just had the earnings call on Thursday. They're like, God, man, we had revenue of $256 million. We're going to be kicking ass. We got this Saudi money coming in, man. The streaming thing's just kicking. Man, the Peacock deal's great. We're going to have the video game out in the first quarter. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later. Bam, fire. Well, wait, I don't understand. If you have like all of everything's good, why do you have to fire people? I'm not really. At what point do you cut payroll enough, Nick Khan? Question. To make this attractive enough to where Universal goes, sold. What is that payroll level that you get to where they go, yeah, that's attractive. We'll buy that. Sure. We can go ahead and start the amusement parks and everything. I don't know what that number is.
You know, it might get to the point where we're going to see the same people just over and over and over and over and over again. Not that we don't do that in a way right now, but it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. The product is so, it's so bad right now. It's so dreadful.
They're glimmers. They're glimmers. But
yeah, like, the product as a whole. I can watch, like, on Friday night, I can watch the Usos and New Day wrestle each other a million times and never get bored with that. It's always going to be good.
Yeah.
I can watch Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns do the Paul and Roman show. I can watch Paul and Kayla do the Paul and Kayla show. There's hardly anything on Raw that I want to watch at all. Yeah. Period. Zip. End of story. Full stop.
Even after the draft. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love to see the personal meltdown of Charlotte Flair. Who doesn't enjoy that? But Jesus Christ, the rest of it's, you talk about eating your Brussels sprouts. It's like eating pounds of Brussels sprouts. But
I've already forgot that there was a draft almost. I mean, that's how uneventful that thing was, you know? Well, it's just like every year, you know, you get to this point of the year, you're like, I really don't really remember who's on what anymore, you know, because they do so much bullshit during between the draft each year.
Exactly.
You know, they're trading and all that stupid shit. So, I mean,
hey, don't forget the superstar shakedown every now and then. Well, does have the superstar shake up or whatever they call that thing.
Whatever. Yeah, you know, so I don't know. It's just, yeah. I think the writing on Raw is just bad. I think that's the main problem there.
Of all of these people, I mean, it's always like, who will Tony Khan sign and make into a, I mean, Keith Lee and Scarlett Bordeaux to me are easy ones. Those are like, you sign those people. I don't know. I think Taya Valkyrie has a shot at being great, and she can juice up any women's division. Ember Moon will be a fine worker. Mia Yim would be fine. Even Marie probably needs to go back to selling whatever fashion shit that she sells.
You know, I don't know. I have to read up on this, but it seems to me that they brought her in specifically to get Doudrop over, and that was that, you know?
Maybe.
I mean, it seemed like, I don't know, maybe they didn't, but it seemed like that was the kind of the deal going into it. She knew what she was doing. It wasn't like this was a big surprise to her to get cut. It seemed like this was, she was just brought in for this one thing because she hadn't gotten any damn better in the ring than she was before, you know?
But she's just as hot. So she's
just as hot. Yeah, just of course.
So I think you look around and you see like, only Lorcan would fit in really well with the AEW style, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Grand Metalik's another guy that would probably fit in with their style, but I would only be in favor of hiring those guys if they fire about 12 other people off of that stupid roster.
I mean, you can't do it, man. I mean, there's just so many people on that roster. It's going like the exact opposite of the WWE roster right now. It's like they're so saturated with people that you don't know what to do with them. And even if they, you know, you could say split them up into Rampage. Well, you're going to have to make Rampage 2 hours. You can't just make it an hour and try to showcase everybody.
And I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know if that's possible either.
I mean, I don't know if you can just go to Warner Media, who supposedly loves every, you saw the meeting, they had the meeting with CM Punk and they were like, oh, we love you here at Warner Media. We see you as part of the team and all this happy horse shit. You know, that all the execs and all the suits always kind of say, and then eventually they end up fucking you anyway. Whoops, right. Maybe that was just my experience.
I doubt you're the only one, but
we love you. You're great. You're so talented. Oh, fuck you.
Salt of the earth. They are.
They're just the best. They're just the very, very best. So another round of cuts. And I mean, we're not done yet. There's nobody that's safe on that roster.
No, not nobody. And we said this before, how many people are safe? Maybe two or three, four. Seth Rollins, maybe Reigns,
Randy Orton, Reigns,
Orton.
Well, Jesus, if you think, I mean, if the Usos were able to survive this drunk driving thing, you got to think
pretty. Yeah. They seem pretty unpenetrable.
And then we always said Charlotte Flair, but the bulletproof nature of Charlotte Flair.
She's her own worst enemy right now.
The whole bulletproof nature of Charlotte Flair may have to be reexamined here with some recent developments, right?
Maybe.
I don't know what's going on with that girl. She needs to chill out or something.
I think she's, I don't know, man. I maybe she's just not as wired for the business as she thinks she is or something, you know?
Well, everybody has a moment of reflection. There's a bunch of shit that's going on in her life. And I always said it. I always said that this was not her dream. This was her brother's dream. So I always felt like at some point, and she's accomplished huge. She's done incredible things.
God, if she quits right now, she's...
I know.
You know, she's sitting pretty in the history books, you know?
I don't know if she's really kind of figured out, hey, I want to do this with her. I guess she could go back to do the personal training thing if she wanted to, but she's had a taste of the business, and that's what always was so toxic to her dad. So this was not her dream. This was Reed's dream. And I always felt like she did it kind of for the wrong reason. She was kind of picking up the torch to kind of do it for him, and because he couldn't do it, and but I mean, she's done great and she seems to love it. But at the same time, you get to a moment of inflection where, okay, they've tossed, my dad is over here doing whatever my dad's doing, and they've kind of fucked over my fiance. And why is it that I'm here again? Why is it that I continue to do this?
Yeah. Well, do you think she maybe not really in love with the business itself, but maybe fell in love with the fanfare and
the attention, stardom,
the attention and stuff,
sure. All the trappings of it. Sure.
And going back to being just a trainer, you know, that was Charlotte Flair. She used to wrestle, you know, I don't know if she, you know, I don't know.
I'm not sure, you know, with all of the, I don't know if she has enough of her, cause you will find out who your friends are once you're not on TV every week.
No doubt.
And then I don't know if she has enough of her Hollywood connections to where, like, oh, I could train this star, whatever. I just think she's having a lot of second thoughts about a lot of stuff right now that she needs to kind of step back. And this isn't a business particularly that helps you step back. And then with, like we said, with all the stuff that's going on in WWE right now, which seems like just a madhouse in a zoo, I mean, who could blame her for being a little bit disillusioned?
Oh, I know. Yeah. At the same time, I definitely agree with that. I mean, and maybe this is all bringing what I said out of her, you know,
yeah.
What you said out of her, you know, is just, she's maybe just ready to say F it.
All of the stuff that she's ever been taught about the business and all the stuff she thought she knew about the business, gone overboard.
Yeah. And even, you know, and don't you think too that the business that she thought she knew about, and she probably did, I'm not saying she thought that she really knew, is not the same wrestling business today as it was when her dad was the man and
absolutely.
All that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's very different. But there was also, like, even when it was what it was, even when the business was this touted great thing and all this stuff, you know, there was a price to be paid for her dad being away from the family for all those years and stuff like that. Even when things were quote unquote good, you know, there was a price to be paid for all of that stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh God. In all kinds of ways.
So there has to be some sort of, I think, acknowledgement of that.
I mean, you could do a Ric Flair Dark Side of the Ring right now. A good 2 hour one.
That's like, it's like a three part. Honestly, AEW president, CEO, and general manager Tony Khan says that most, that's the quote, of the AEW talent roster has received the COVID-19 vaccine. In an interview with Wade Keller of the Pro Wrestling Torch, Khan went on into detail about his own vaccination status, that of the AEW roster, plus why vaccination status is important as AEW looks to tour internationally. I have got most of the roster and AEW's vaccinated. Khan says that he foresees a difficult landscape for unvaccinated talent as his company looks to tour outside the United States and even in certain areas of the U.S. with strict mandates. And for example, there have been some places where we went, everybody had to be vaccinated. I think when the company starts doing international travel, we'll see that for, say, Canada, for England, places like that, it'll be very different for wrestlers to travel without it, said Khan. So it will certainly present a challenge as we tour. And I know California in the future is a place that has very strict mandates. So most of the roster is unvaccinated as we continue touring. I think that's something that may come up. So I understand why for some people, especially with the return to touring, international touring looming, why that would be an issue. There's Tony Khan.
All right, my pettiness. Here's my pettiness out of all that. This is what I got out of all that.
Sure.
I want to know the ones. Let's guess the ones who aren't vaccinated. I know one.
Christopher Jericho.
Number one, yes.
Mr. Ivermectin, I'm sure, is going to be one of those Mr. Monoclonal Antibodies.
You know, he ought to put a mask on and be like Ivermectin Man or something, you know.
Something tells me that the dumb fucks haven't gotten their vaccinations.
You think?
I don't know. They feel very Jesus-y. I think they're praying for the Lord to help them out.
You got a point there.
Which is dumb as shit because they're the ones with the two little kids. You know, they've got all those little kids running around and shit. They should be one of the first ones out there getting the shit in their arm.
No doubt.
Dumbasses.
Well, yeah, I would say them. I would bet that they hadn't had it.
Who else is on that parade?
Like Eddie Kingston. You think he would?
I would hope that Eddie Kingston would be vaccinated. That would be disappointing if he wasn't.
Yeah. Like Christian, somebody like that. I
always think of Canadians as being so reasonable, but then I've had some reason to doubt that recently.
Yeah, I understand.
There's been some things that have come up that made me think that those people are just as fucked up as we are, and that's not right.
It's been a facade this whole time.
Wrong. It's just wrong. I'm trying to think.
What do you think about FTR? You think they've been vaccinated?
I would hope so. I mean, again, representing North Carolina and being from the area they're from, which is, you know,
Braun Strowman like.
It's the area that kind of we're from, which again, I know, like, where you grew up and where I grew up, we were not anti-vaccine. We were not educated people, man. I'm the first guy in my family on either side to get a 4-year degree from a university. But when they lined us to, like, give us flu shots and shit, we did it. We didn't think the government was trying to control us or anything.
Not at all.
There was not no like, hey, this is a communist plot. Don't put no. It was like, hey, flu shot. Okay, cool. Because first of all, motherfucker, you live 12, 15, 20 miles away from town. You can't just hop in and go see a doctor when you got a cough. Some people die. So you need to like try to keep yourself healthy and like put the shit fucking shit in your goddamn arm. And the other thing about this is, get on a rant. I can't help it. This COVID vaccine is different than the shit that we take. It's different than other vaccines. They don't put a latent form of the goddamn virus into your body.
That's a big thing.
It's huge. And it's going to, I mean, eventually kicking and screaming, this is going to change vaccinations forever. As people continue to like fight this, the data and all of the greatness that we get from this pandemic, the good stuff that's going to come out of this is that this is going to change for the better the way vaccinations are given around the world, around the fucking world. And it's not just in big westernized nations like Great Britain and France and Germany and Canada and the United States. It's going to be in places in third world countries, man.
And God, some of the third world countries, if they could, they pray that they wish they had the damn vaccine.
Dying. We got people we can't even get like one. We have some people here who are getting thirds, and there are people over who were in some of these places that were dying to get firsts. But we never honestly. And I didn't grow up in a big Republican place. Now it's a real Republican area now. But Jesus Christ, we never fought these vaccines. We never were like, we didn't do that. And it was like nobody ever said, like, when you had to go to school, you had to have. I had this. There was a thing called the DPT vaccine, and it was diphtheria, pertussin, and I don't know, was it typhoid, maybe, I don't know,
maybe.
But they had to, it was all three of them. They put it in your arm. And it was, my mom fooled me. She goes, "Ah, we're going out." Oh yeah, by the way, you thought you were going to Sky City. Now you're going to the health department to get your shot. Ah, I made you look dirty, crook. So they did it, and nobody ever stood up at a school board meeting and went, "I don't think these children should be vaccinated against pertussin. I want whooping cough to come back." Nobody ever said that. Nobody did that shit.
But this is after they said it was a whooping cough was a hoax.
Of course. I mean, if they could have made a cool YouTube video and gotten elected lieutenant governor, maybe they would have done it back then. Maybe they would have done that shit back in 77 or 78. Some dumbass would have stood there. Whooping cough needs to be. You need to build up natural immunity. We don't know what's in this vaccine. We have this lieutenant governor in this state who is, if Wilford Brimley was still alive, he would weep. This man just, I don't know if I don't know who manufactures insulin, but if they could just get like a cardboard cutout of him, or get like the NASCAR thing with him, insulin, because he's just a big fat tub of guts, and he walks around and he just hates gays. He hates transsexuals. He hates everything. He loves the fuck out of guns.
And doesn't mince words.
He doesn't mince words. I mean, he really, like, you know, there's a lot of people in the Republican Party. I know some gay Republicans, and they kind of like, they don't feel that way about us. And this guy's like, oh, fuck yeah. I think y'all are fucked up and weird.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And I don't think you should be around kids, and you're weird as shit, and ain't normal. So he'll just fucking say it. There's like, no. So, point being, if this guy ever got, he's done. He's history. There's so many comorbidities. It ain't even funny with this guy. The thing enters his nose, and within 4 seconds, he falls flat. And so, like, I don't know. I haven't heard his thoughts on this, but if he's one of those, I don't know what's in it. Motherfucker, what's in those McRibs that you're shoving in your gullet about every 4 seconds?
Can we start referring to him as Lieutenant Governor Diabetes?
He just, holy shit, he should be shotgunning insulin at this point. I took this, it's called metformin. He, again, should have like a NASCAR style endorsement for metformin on his person.
I heard ivermectin's good for it, too.
Give me some fucking horse. Terry Bradshaw went off on Aaron Rodgers.
That was awesome. It's like...
And the great thing about it is, guess what? Terry Bradshaw owns horses. So Joe Rogan, quit saying it's not horse medicine. Here's a guy that owns fucking horses, who's giving it to his horses, who knows it's for horses, of course. You dumb shit.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say the dumb fucks, Chris Jericho. Those are my nominees for. I would hope to God somebody who is a DMD, I would hope that they would, for God's sakes, believe in science and medicine enough to get one in their arm, and they would then get their boyfriend to also put the fucking thing in his arm. I'm pretty sure CM Punk believes in science and shit.
He would be the first one, him and like Orange Cassidy and Darby, I would think.
I don't think Daniel is so much of a hippie that he wouldn't take it. I think he's on board.
I would think so. But I think there's some people, I bet there's at least two or three people that would probably surprise us by saying that they wouldn't.
Hey, Colt Cabana, if you're listening. You shouldn't take it, Colt. Nobody knows what's in it. It's like a plot to be controlled by the government. Don't take the vaccine, Colt. Don't do it.
Take ivermectin.
Just get you some horse dewormer and maybe take some vitamin D. You'll be fine. And don't listen to Anthony Fauci. He's a terrible doctor. Listen to Joe Rogan, Colt. That's what you want to do.
Heard Clay Travis is pretty good, too. You can give him a listen. Clay Travis
is the fucking best. Oh, God. Why can't these people die of this stuff? I don't understand.
Well, it's like the whole Brad and Britt cast, the whole thing you guys got going with why does this guy have to die instead of this guy?
Why is Donald Trump Jr. still alive and Norm MacDonald's dead?
Perfect.
Like anytime anybody dies, we're always like, it's not fair. Tony Khan has not said, he has said that he has not mandated the AEW talent get the vaccine. It has come up several times. I've not required it. Same with the NFL, same with other wrestling leagues, but it would be a big challenge if you're not, for a lot of circumstances. A great example was the Jericho Cruise, where all the wrestlers on the Jericho Cruise had to be vaccinated. I believe you found a little discrepancy in that statement.
Time out. Let me see. I'm going to go back and look, but I saw Robert Gibson getting on the cruise ship right before the cruise ship, took a picture, put it on Facebook or Instagram or one of those, and it was him getting a COVID test, not a shot. So what does that say?
It says here that Jeff Cobb will be going to CMLL soon with TJP as representatives from New Japan. Holy shit. God, I love Jeff Cobb.
I do too, man.
Oh, I love Jeff Cobb so much. He's so good.
Bad dude, Tito. Don't you wish they would just come in as a damn tag team?
How could they not be? How can you not make money off of that
everybody?
Stuff? God. And they had the big
I was going back and watching some Jay White stuff earlier today from the Kenny Omega stuff, and I watched when he first came into on Impact a few months ago and faced up against the Good Brothers and all the Bullet Club, the other Bullet Club or whatever. So I don't know. I was just catching up on some Jay White stuff since he's going to be at WrestleCade in a few weeks.
Doesn't the Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk shit, doesn't that look good?
It looks great, man. But here's my problem with it. I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking this, but this may be what they're doing. I don't know. It didn't seem like Punk was almost getting some booze during that whole exchange on Rampage. Yeah,
I think that's also a testament to how good Eddie Kingston is, right? And I think that's okay. I think that's all right. We're not going to turn CM Punk's not going to be a straight heel, but he's also not going to be a white meat baby face. He's just not. Brian Danielson will be. They're going to fall in love with that guy and not, there's no problem. But CM Punk's got a little edge to him, and Eddie Kingston with this, you treated me like shit 15 years ago kind of situation. I don't know. I think that's pretty good shit.
But I would have saved that, though. It's almost like they went from Daniel Garcia and Bobby Fish or I don't know, whoever the hell, these lower grade people. And all of a sudden they're throwing them in with this person that they're, I don't know. It might work out now that I'm thinking about it, that Punk's had this love fest and all of a sudden Kingston's bringing up some, skeletons in the closet and making
that.
So, I guess it might work, but I don't know. It threw me that was his next opponent kind of thing.
That's going to be the thing is when CM Punk signed, when he shows up in AEW, it's going to be like, all right, who are we going to get? Who's going to work against him? We can have Jericho work against him. We can have MJF work against him. We can have this guy. We can have Ricky Starks and Sammy Guevara. All these guys that we need to get over, guys that are already over. And eventually, I do think you build up to him and Danielson next Labor Day weekend. I think that's going to be the big match. That's going to be the big, huge, massive buildup. But you don't need to put those two guys together, tease it or anything like that. Mm-mm. They can kind of do their own thing. You know, Danielson can go work with some of these guys. And again, it's kind of the same problem with him. It's like, who's he going to – he's going to work with this guy, work with this guy, work with this guy, work with this guy. And then, you know, they figured out that this thing with Eddie Kingston, that kind of catches fire. That's going to be good for a while.
Yeah.
And then – you can do that for the pay-per-view. We'll see how that peters out. And then around the new year, we can start getting him involved with, I don't know, somebody else. And then probably at the beginning of the summer or sometime in the spring, that's, to me, feels like that's when you want to start kind of teasing and getting him and Danielson together.
And that's, so you think it's going to be Danielson over like Adam Cole or Omega or anybody like that? You think it's going to be Danielson, the first big, big?
To me, that feels like the money match. To me, like, that's the one. Okay, these are two guys who are established. They've been recognized as just the guys who helped turn independent wrestling into what it is today. And they've wrestled each other before, but it's been many, many years. So this is a collision course. And they have some mainstream appeal. I'm not going to say that they have, you know, total mainstream appeal among people who don't pay attention to the product. But, oh, yeah, I've heard of that guy. Or, yes, of course. Daniel Bryan had the thing in WrestleMania 30 and became like a thing. CM Punk had the pipe bomb. Yes. Okay. Now those two are coming together. To me, that feels like the money match more than anything else that they've got. Because they do, you know, so many people talk about this, including Cornette and Bryan Lashley. They just do all this stuff for the inside fans that it's not going to make them any more money. It's not going to draw one more person who's not already watching that show. But having those two wrestle each other in a big pay-per-view event, that to me, they could hit, that feels like a big fight atmosphere. And like I said, there are some people who haven't been paying attention to the product, like, oh yeah, those two. Well, now that's something I might be interested in. To me, that reaches out beyond the small, again, look what Misawa did back in 1997 crowd.
Yeah.
That whole situation.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not arguing with you. I just think that it makes sense. I mean, I just didn't really gave it much thought until now. But yeah, I could see that happening for sure.
But there's a ton of guys that you can eventually go through. And when MJF gave that great promo and he talked about the four pillars of the guys that are going to be the future of the company and all that stuff, wasn't it? Him and Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara and Ricky Starks, weren't those the big four that he named out in that promo?
Sounds like it, I think.
Those were the ones he talked about. They're going to be the guys that the company is going to be built around in the future. See, again, yeah. MJF is a guy that is so young and can make money at so many different times. He hasn't had the best year because they've faded him for a while. But he's finishing strong, and he's finishing in the spot that he needs to be, and he's getting the mic time that he needs to be. And he's doing exactly – he's kind of – as he finishes up the year of 2021, he's kind of in the exact right spot, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad that they kind of let him fade a little bit. I mean, I don't know if they – like I said, I don't know if they did it on purpose or not. I think they did. But I think it helped him.
Yeah.
Because he's just – you know, he's just as hated now as he was before, if not more so.
We didn't get to talk about it last week because we were on with talking with Stutz and the John Moxley announcement at the beginning of the week that he was entering inpatient treatment for alcoholism, which has got to be incredibly tough. And that's where you get the Miro replacement for John Moxley. And now Miro is going to be challenging for that first contender for that top contender spot for the AEW championship. I mean, I think it takes an incredible amount of courage for John Moxley. First of all, in the middle of a book tour, I mean, good God, to say, hey, I got a time out. I got a little issue here I got to deal with. So I think that takes a tremendous amount of courage, and I'm glad that he's getting a lot of support for this. I don't know you know, this is to me one of the great downfallings of the macho territory culture of wrestling, is like, you don't ask for help, and just drinking a lot is what you did, and you just woke up the next day and went to the next town and you drank yourself to sleep again, and you did that over and over again, and if you couldn't handle that or you thought you needed help, you were a pussy. Basically, yeah. that was the mentality. So I'm glad that there's been a dramatic change over time from that sort of mentality. And I'm glad that Tony Khan is a guy who seems to support that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I guess it's just one of those things that, you know, you said he's in the middle of a book tour. I guess when it just hits you, it hits you, you know, no matter what the hell is going on besides alcoholism in your life. You just say, okay, everybody just full stop. I got to take care of shit.
Look, there's been a lot of shit that's going on with that guy this year.
Oh, for sure.
He became a new father and he wrote this book, and then things are happening to him. And after a while, if you're drinking to kind of escape from that or to deal with it or kind of, you know, hide your fear or whatever, and then at some point it kind of catches up with you. Wait, hang on. I need to figure out something before I drive drunk, go 156 miles an hour, plow into somebody and kill them and their dog, for example, just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you, man, when that dude comes back, oh my God, the response that he's going to get when he comes back. I mean, it's going to be CM Punk. Like, it may even outdo CM Punk when he first showed up, you know?
That's, you know, and again, that's another tough one. It's kind of like you have to have him up there, but I don't know how we fade him. And I just really feel like that's what you need to be working toward in that promotion, is Punk against Danielson. But at the same time, like you say, when Mox comes back, and hopefully it'll be early next year, he's going to be hot as a firecracker. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah, they're going to have to do something with him.
And, well, what I think is going to happen, and I think Miro is going to end up winning this tournament. He's going to get the belt, and when Moxley comes back, he's going to go after Miro because Miro is the one who took his place and all that stuff. So that sounds too easy to me, but it may be something totally different. But I think if that's what they do, then that's great. I'd love to see him and Miro.
Do you remember one of the biggest fights that they ever got on the Bruce Pritchard show? I remember this one because they fought hard about this. When they were doing a bit with Scott Hall, and Scott Hall was taking, I think it's called Anapose. It's the drug that you take, and if you drink alcohol, it makes you sick.
Makes you sick, yeah.
Yes. So Scott didn't tell anyone, and they did a thing where Stone Cold Steve Austin had him tied to this chair and was like pouring or spitting beer at him or something. And Conrad thought that was the most awful thing, regardless of whether Scott offered the information or not for them to do. And of course, Bruce was like, well, I didn't know. If he would have told us, we would have done it. You know, of course, whatever. He's defending. I mean, Jesus Christ. I swear to God, Vince McMahon could go and get a shoot newborn from a maternity ward, murder it on television, and Bruce would be like, I don't know. We don't know that he did that. That kid could have grown up to be Hitler. We don't know. You know, he would defend anything. Do you think when Mox gets back, and I'm telling you the guy to do this would be MJF, do you think they would do something where MJF tries to tempt him with alcohol or something like that?
Not in AEW. I don't see that.
Jeez.
But I tell you what, I think.
Dude, but think.
Hangman Page did not have an alcohol
cup. Yeah.
When he came out.
Oh, if that's what it takes to get rid of that stupid gimmick, then God bless you.
God, I mean,
thank you, Mox.
Yeah. For that alone.
But remember, this is the promotion that just days after the kid's dad died, MJF healed on, you know, Brody Lee's kid. He healed. I mean, he got his comeuppance. He got his comeuppance, and he sold it like $1 million. But, you know, the set of balls that it had to take for fucking MJF to do that?
To keep a stay in character at the same time.
He fucking healed on the kid. And I don't care if they talked about it backstage and they told the kid 1 million times, oh, it's great. He doesn't mean it. This is part of the business, blah, blah, blah. It's no big deal. Eventually you'll get to kill. That was unbelievable, right?
I know. It kind of made you cringe just a little bit, but you knew what was up, you know?
Right. More so, did it make you cringe more so than maybe a column about questioning if the guy had COVID or not?
Let me ponder on that one.
Coming up on the 1 year anniversary of all that.
Wow, that's hard to believe.
Isn't that weird? Like in about like 6 weeks, it'll be the 1 year anniversary of all of that.
Man.
Yeah. And Wade Keller making it seem like he had fired Bruce Mitchell. He made it seem very much like I will stick to that till I go to my grave.
I'm Wade Keller.
He did. He made it seem like, I swear to God, he put out a tweet or something. He put out like a listing. I think it was a post on PW
Torch.
Did
he put a list of releases out from PW Torch? Is that what it was?
Here we go. Travis. Yeah. Ah! Rich. Yeah. Ah! Pat. Well, Pat really was fired, I think.
Yeah.
I think Pat thought his and Jim Valley's way back playback was a tad more important to the product than it really was. I believe that was the issue, and I believe Pat tried to shop that around to some big fat ass in Huntsville, Alabama, who likes to try to take shows away from people, and then that guy wouldn't even bite.
So Pat basically went into business for himself on this, huh?
Kind of tried. Didn't work out so much. Huh? No, didn't work out so much. That's so weird. There's like all there's some stuff going on in Conrad world that's kind of weird. There's just some weird shit that goes on. And Brian Last has, you know, lifted the curtain up just a little bit into that whole situation. Just the teeniest bit to let us know.
We'll have a Brian Last Conrad cage match here in the next few months somewhere.
Oh, that shit. Take my money now. Are you kidding me? Are you shitting me? Take my money now.
Oh man.
Because I don't know. There's some weird shit that goes on. Like Conrad has really slid into the wrestling business very well.
Well,
very well, with all of the shady stuff and all the kind of it's happened pretty good.
Well, I mean, he's right in the wheelhouse of shadiness, dealing with Bruce Pritchard and
exactly all,
and Eric Bischoff,
and look who his father-in-law is and shit. Are you kidding?
I didn't mention that.
Golly geez, holy shit. Oh, he's really adapted very nicely.
And then there's Shivani standing back going, what the fuck? Why am I here? What am I doing?
Shivani, I don't, you know, he really somehow, I know he wouldn't say this, but somehow he kind of always ends up sunny side up. He always kind of, there's a way that guy kind of slides into shit.
Like, he knows how to play his cards.
Even when he left WCW and they were like at the meeting where they're like telling everybody, you know, it's over, and Tony comes in and he's wearing a suit and stuff. Hey, Tony, you just wore that suit to get fired. No, motherfuckers, I've got an interview over at WSB Radio, so eat one. And then the aforementioned Jim Valley polishes up like a shiny new penny down in Charlotte, and ta-da!
Look at that. Look at that bright shine on Tony now.
Ta-da! You know, I told you Cabell Philpott had something to do with that, too. Because Cabell was producing, he was producing the Georgia stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he told Tony, hey, you should talk to this Conrad Thompson guy. And then, holy shit.
Yeah, well, Tony got Cabell tickets to AEW in Charlotte, too.
Oh, did so he? Like, really he good
paid
tickets?
Him back. Yeah, I think they were, like, down by the ring.
That doesn't seem like a commensurate payback. I opened you up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh, here's two tickets to Dynamite. But they're up close.
Have a good time, babe.
I'm trying to think, like, what would be a good payback? Could we have Brandy sit on my face? All right, now we're even.
Well, you could even go, like, you know, somebody that's not married even. Like Ty Conti, she's not married, is she?
Yeah, Ty Conti, she's not married. And then Britt Baker, she's not married.
She's not married, shit.
Let me see her naked. Now we're even.
Yes.
Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning edition of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
No, I think I'm thawed it out. I'm still a little bummed, though, about ROH blowing up, because I do like coming home and watching them on Saturday nights for posterity's sake. But, you know, oh well.
Maybe something crazy like Conrad and Jeff Jarrett will buy that and combine it with NWA.
Hey, did you see Jeff Jarrett is coming to the TNA?
Yeah, I did see that.
Reunion thing.
Oh, yeah. Tracy must have written a check.
Tracy can write checks.
He can. I wonder if they're going to do, well, they haven't said that yet, if they're going to do like a live edition of the Jeff Jarrett podcast the night before.
Oh,
like,
I don't know. I didn't see that.
They haven't said anything about that. Yeah, that would, if Conrad's going to be there, but then again, Conrad may be very busy bailing his father-in-law out of jail.
It's a short time away, WrestleKid is, but as far as Conrad's concerned, that's a long time away.
Listen, Conrad! Woo! I'm in jail! I need you to go ahead and get that MX car and get Daddy out of jail.
Daddy.
I did a little too much partying all night long. Woo!
God, drunk Ric Flair sounds great, man.
Drunk Ric Flair is just Ric Flair. Conrad, I swear I didn't do nothing. I never touched that bitch. Woo! Conrad, get that MX black car out. Come over here. Get my ass out of this jail. That's like a call that Conrad gets twice a week.
Oh, Rick. He's like, well, damn.
Motherfucker, this is your life. I mean, you got to marry the lovely Megan, but this is your life. This is what you have to do now.
This wasn't masked.
He's been able to pawn off some of his podcast duties to some of the other guys on the ad-free shows. You talk about a bunch of fucking, what are those things? Oh, the barnacles that hang onto ships. Yeah. You talk about some barnacles that are clinging on to like a 450-pound ship out of Huntsville. Jesus Christ. And it's not just that Jay-Z Flair motherfucker that we saw a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
With his damn tropical-ass shirt. There's like no end to the hangers-on that this motherfucker has.
Is that the Bojangles suit, dude?
Yeah, that's the guy. The Bojangles champion. That's the guy with the super hot wife. Mm. Oh, Jesus. He's got the SS Thompson has fucking barnacles hanging off of it. You wouldn't believe. let's see. Bryant is on Twitter and Instagram at Bry Sports, BRY Sports. He's on TikTok at Stanley Jackson 23. Our show is on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. You can find me on the gram, as the kids say, at BW4Reels, BDUB number 4. REELZ, and on Twitter, it's just plain old Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE. And if you want to support what we do, shop at our Amazon store. That is katievick.com, because Christmas is coming and stuff. And I know Joe Biden fucked up the supply chain, but if you need a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt, for fuck's sake, order it through our link at katievick.com. The Brad and Britt show is on hiatus till Wednesday. We're taking a couple of days off, so we'll be back doing our thing. If you want to follow us at Brad and Britt, we certainly do appreciate that. We thank you for all your support. And until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.